It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast, your real estate advocates, community connectors. 803-810-2230 if you have any real estate questions, comments, or concerns. Or you can hit us up at our website, thejoneszones.com. Thejoneszones.com. Brian, how are you?
Chris, I'm doing well,
man. How's that coffee?
The coffee that held up the podcast? It's good. Put a little ice in there, a little creamer.
In that coffee?
What?
You put ice in that?
Yeah.
Just now?
Just now, yeah. Why?
I'm just curious.
Iced coffee.
Yeah, but you can't put iced coffee in hot coffee, can you?
No,
it just melts.
What did I say? I don't know, man.
If you're gonna make an iced coffee, the coffee has to be at worst room temperature or chilled.
I made hot coffee, Chris.
Or it's just gonna melt the ice. Now you got watered down coffee.
I thought it. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just put ice in the coffee, man.
All right, let's get off this topic.
All
right. Today, we're joined by a special guest. This one's going to be a lot of fun because it's marketing and stuff. They're all a lot of fun. But Arden McLaughlin with Definita Publicity and Marketing. I can barely say publicity. I just learned that.
Did he say your name right?
Yeah, McLaughlin.
Definita offers a multi-tiered approach to publicizing you and your brand, from traditional media placement to the intricate workings of social media to strategic event execution. Their services will ensure that your voice is heard and your brand is defined. That's what Definita does. She's also, I guess, the founder and president or whatever of Arden's Book Club.
Yeah.
What's your favorite book? Put you on the spot.
Right now?
Right now. Favorite book.
Oh, I still love the Fifth Avenue Artist Society by a local author, Joy Calloway.
Okay.
Incredibly great book. Celia Garth is a favorite. None of that, like, you know, a lot of people name The Handmaid's Tale, or someone told me recently Pride and Prejudice, and I was like,
recently? For real?
Real?
You read that thing? She's also involved with the people of CLT, and she's the Charlotte Ambassador of the No Tribe. So,
yeah.
Arden, welcome to the Jones Zone. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So, Miss Book Club President, what's that book? It was the worst of times, it was the best of times. Which one was that? Tale of Two Tales.
Tale of Two Cities?
Tale of Two Cities.
That's how it starts. Yeah. But anyway, that's a little bit of your personal story. An introduction. But if you don't mind, share a little bit of your personal story and some of your professional background and how you got started with all the things you're doing now.
Oh, y'all told me I didn't need to prepare, but now I have to get personal out of the game.
Not too much.
Very personal. You have to like tell us your most... Intimate detail.
As the wordsmith.
I'm just butchering words today.
Drink more coffee. So, I mean, I'm from this area. Grew up in Mooresville. Graduated top in my class.
Me too.
Did you? Okay.
Did you really graduate top of your class? Yeah.
Like number one?
Valedictorian?
Like number three, yeah.
Oh, wow. Was that salutatorian?
It was, they called it the honor speaker.
Oh.
It was just number three in my class. Went to Carolina, head cheerleader, dance, played soccer, like just all American kid.
The whole thing, huh?
Carrie Underwood of.
I went pretty much. I have the exact same singing voice as Carrie Underwood too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I don't know why I've been overlooked so long by American Idol. So I went to Carolina with the sole purpose of going to the journalism school. I feel like my only actual talent, God-given talent, is the ability to write. So I went to the journalism school and had a great time at Carolina. I'm a Tar Heel through and through.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep.
Chris is, you know, he's the outsider here.
Are you? Who do you cheer for?
You know who he does. Yeah.
I don't know. Who do you cheer for? Duke?
Yeah.
On purpose?
8 miles up the street. Yeah.
Who? What made you choose Duke?
I've been asking that for years. You know what it was? I can tell you.
Yeah, there's always...
You tell me.
Yeah.
Brian, you should know. I mean, I've told many people.
Yeah, I know the story. You can tell. She asked you.
Yeah, generally people choose for some reason.
My earliest memory...
Yeah.
Sports and basketball is watching the Kentucky versus Duke game.
Yes.
where Christian Wagner hit the shot.
Yeah.
And he jumped on the bandwagon then.
Well, many people did.
I was 10 at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I was watching with my dad, and he celebrated. He was happy because he likes pretty much all the teams in the area. He didn't really have a favorite.
Okay.
So he was pulling for Duke.
I'm sure he likes Tar Heels.
Not particularly. Because he's not one of those real fans because, like, if the Tar Heels was out, if the Tar Heels were out,
yeah,
then he was pulling for Duke.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So,
no.
You know, when Duke won that game, that sparked my interest, and they went on to win the championship, and that's how it started. So I never backed down.
Christian Leitner.
Yeah. And we were living in South Dakota at the time. We weren't even here. We were out in the middle of nowhere because our parents were in the military.
Okay.
And so we came back here. I actually went to South Carolina, so I like South Carolina.
Yeah.
And Duke.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
So.
is the podcast canceled?
No. I'm a true Tar Heel. And I think true blue Tar Heels need Duke to be good because it makes beating them better.
Yeah.
That's my whole sentiment. People want them to be bad. I'm like, no, why do I want to beat a bad Duke? It feels so much better to beat a good Duke. So came back here and never intended to stay, but did, fell in love with the city in a different way. Worked for a PR agency for a little while, started working in literacy organizations, and worked for the library in about 3 or 4 years ago. That relationship ended professionally. I've just moved on to different things and really just started trying to figure out, what do I want to do? I left Carolina, a kid in a dream, thinking I could do everything, and really kept falling into jobs. Not that I didn't enjoy them, but I just felt like I kept falling in. And when the summer of 2015, I just thought, I don't think I could do this forever. I was in nonprofit, I was in fundraising. It was like, I just don't think this is my forever dream. So I took the summer and really started trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And what I found out was I'm really good at telling stories. I just kept running into cool people. That was when I met Garrett Tichy with Huga. Before it was Huga, before it was anything, he needed a writer. So I started writing for him. Other people needed an event planner, so I started event planning for them. And I just kept, people were like, oh, I know you did this, I know you do this, and they just kept hiring me, and I just was lucky enough that I could take the time to figure out what I wanted to do. So, took a while. I was actually going to call my business Full Court Press, because I'm a junkie for basketball.
Let's talk Tar Heels. Who's your favorite Tar Heel of all time?
Vince Carter.
Okay, I think that
guy is still playing in the unless he retired this summer. He's still playing.
But then I started figuring out, like, I really help people define themselves better. I just can figure out what your story is. I think true writers can also hear really great stories, and I help people figure out what their stories are better than they can, just by like spending time with you, immersing myself in your brand, immersing myself in what you're doing and how you're doing it, and that's how Definita came to be. Yeah. I help you define yourself in a cluttered market.
Very good. So,
before we go any further, we were talking before the podcast.
Yes.
I remember I said I have a trivia for you?
Yes.
All right, so we got some viewers on Facebook Live. Here's a trivia question. Arden prides herself in general pop knowledge.
Yes.
Did you know Pink Floyd? What's your Pink Floyd level?
I enjoy Pink Floyd.
It doesn't matter if you care or not, because I like feeling smart.
Okay, right? Then, I mean, they're fine. He is fine. Whatever. I enjoy the music. When it comes on, I'm not seeking out Pink Floyd.
So, Pink Floyd had an original lead singer on their first album. His name was Syd Barrett.
Okay.
And Syd Barrett got so messed up into like the LSD and the drugs, his mind got fried.
Okay.
So the song Wish You Were Here was written for Syd Barrett, even though, like, Syd Barrett was still alive at the time, but he was just gone.
Yeah.
So if you listen to the lyrics of Wish You Were Here, they're talking directly to Syd Barrett.
Okay.
That's...
What does that have to do with anything right
this
now?
This is the exact conversation that we were having yesterday. This is exactly what I meant by that.
I'm sorry, but, like...
Pop culture about the Tar Heels, what was the starting lineup of certain year, like, something like that, but no.
Greg Cooley says Pink Floyd is not pop. I guess
that's not pop culture.
It's not pop culture.
No.
It's like 60s or early
90s rock podcast. Then.
Yeah. I'm thinking like 80s, 90s TV show.
Perhaps I should.
Debbie Gibson.
Did you know? Did you know I won a quiz show, like a game contest on a cruise ship? I got the trophy at the house.
So is this your podcast? Or
yeah.
Am I the guest?
I'm
the
guest.
I'm just
all the time. He can't help himself. All right, so tell me a little bit about who your target audience is. So people that are looking to hire you, like who are people that benefit from the services you provide?
I would think, I kind of split my time two ways. I work with authors, and authors who are looking to launch a book. I've got a program to help them launch their book correctly. And really, when we talk about launching books, it's 2 to 3 months before your book hits the stores. That's how you hit bestseller status and those sorts of things that people are always wanting to know the inside scoop. There's tricks to the game, if you will. I also work with lifestyle brands. So, and I really say lifestyle brands with a mission. So I work with brands that have generally some sort of empowerment mission, or they're helping someone do better, and they're not just like out to make money. They're out to do something with their money.
Something like Tom's or something.
Yes.
Yeah,
not that I work with Tom's,
right.
But like, yes, a mission-based for-profit. Well, maybe not. It might not be humanitarian. It could just be we want to empower women to own their own businesses. Or men to create confidence.
Men to increase their confidence.
Yes. We want to empower the next generation to be active voters, those sorts of things. So it's not just, I want to make a bunch of money. Well, who doesn't? But I'm driven by mission-based, much more than I'm just driven by making a lot of money.
Gotcha. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
What are some of the steps that you encourage people to take to, like, build that story and build that brand, and like what's got, especially for someone that's shy and doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But you know that that's part of their story and what'll launch their brand to the next level. Like, how do you start there?
Well, people come to me, I always say you have to be ready to work with me. So if you're not ready to go public, if you're not ready to start talking about things, there's no reason to waste your money on me, because I'm going to get you a podcast or an interview or TV or start generating popularity on Facebook or something, because that's my job. My job is to generate buzz about you. So if you're not ready to go public, we back up into what's going on? Why aren't you ready? What is your mission? Maybe you don't know what your story is yet. So it's sort of several different tiers. When I sit down to have like an informational interview with someone, just sort of gauge where they are. And a lot of times I'm interviewing them without them even knowing, or I'll put them in a situation just to see how they react, to kind of get a gauge on, here's how their actual interaction is with people. Here's how, are you shy or are you not shy? Are you introvert, extrovert? Do you force yourself to be in situations? So I watch in a lot of ways. There's just things I intuitively can tell about people that, what I always say, if you're ready to work with a publicist of any sort, or PR of any sort, just start taking note of what you like. Start seeing who you like on Instagram. If you want to be a speaker, start looking at other speakers. Who's killing it? Who's doing it in a way that you really like? You maybe don't. Like, Rachel Hollis is a very popular person that people are watching now, especially women. What's Rachel Hollis doing? How is she doing it? Do you like how she's doing it or how she isn't? Yeah.
She's the author.
Yeah, Rachel Hollis,
Girl
Watch Your Face.
Yeah.
Yes. But she's talking about her book everywhere. And she's got her husband everywhere. But she's still selling her book nonstop. The message continues to get out. That's how you make yourself successful. And if you're not willing to talk about something over and over and over and over again, then that's not the right subject matter for you. So that's another thing, to just be looking at, what are you willing to talk about repeatedly? What do you get really excited about every day? Every day I get excited about hearing someone's story and telling it. I don't get excited about admin or billing or like any of that kind of crap.
Right.
So I have to do it, but that's never what's going to get me up every day. So you got to just take inventory. Most people I work with are either very self-aware or willing to get very self-aware quickly.
Yeah.
Who should write a book?
Who?
Yeah. Like what, like say I want to write a book, but I don't like feel like I'm qualified. Is that a false belief that people have?
I mean, some people aren't. Like, if you have a story to tell but you're not a good writer, you need to find a ghostwriter. I don't think there's so many people putting books out now that I don't think everyone needs a book. Some people need a podcast. Some people need a blog. Some people, like, a book is a lot of work. And you've got to be willing to do the work and to dive in and deal with other people looking at it and deal with other people going, that's crappy writing, or you need to shift the story here, here. Who should write a book is someone confident enough to go, okay, I trust my words with someone else, and I trust that I have great editors, and I trust that I have great agents, or whatever it is. But you also need a story. So I always just say, start writing. If you can write every day for a month, or 2 months, or 3 months, and continue to get the story out, then that's something that's worth looking into. Mm-hmm. But if you get tired of it, just don't. Because you're going to get tired of it. To really make money on a book or really sell or build your platform, you have to talk about it over and over and over and over again.
Does that make people insecure? Like if you told me that, I'd be like, man, I don't want my audience to get exhausted of it. Like, how do you balance that?
The thing is, you're growing your audience every day. So Lewis Howes has been talking about the School of Greatness for how long? Well, someone just told me about him a month and a half ago. So for me, everything he's saying is not new. Rachel Hollis, Brene Brown said it before Rachel Hollis, Theodore Roosevelt said it before Brene Brown. Nothing is new, but the way she's saying it is new. And that, and the medium she's using, and how she's using Dave to work with her. Because if you're consistently working with someone like me, you should be consistently building your audience. And you have to remember, if you're building an audience by fives or six or hundreds or thousands daily, you've got a whole new audience sitting with you. I mean, I think everybody's heard everything I've said, and then people are like, oh, this is so cool. I'm like, where have you been? But but there's always new people coming at you. Who you think is your audience is probably not. Like, your goal is to always be growing. If you get segmented on what you say, you're not going to be a product anymore. Like, Coke is Coke is Coke, right? Like, Coke never differentiates between what it is. But we drink Coke every day. People know they come to me for a story to be told. If you don't need a story to be told, don't come to me. Or if you don't want it in your face and me being honest with you, don't come to me. I don't sugarcoat. I'll take care of you. But, like, if you don't want somebody going to bat for you and fighting for you and making sure everything looks okay, I'm not the person for you. Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
Yeah. One of my mentors talks about, because what you said earlier about, it's often said before, what makes you unique is your personal story. It's what's called the attractive character. And it's what gets people invested in you. Mm-hmm. And what's why people want to buy the book, even though another author may have said the same thing, but it's your take on it.
Yes.
It's your personal spin.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
How are you guys implementing social media, and what strategies do you take? Like, I mean, there's so many different platforms.
Oh, gosh.
Is there a certain kind of strategy that you have? Do you guys just kind of get out there and everything and see what works?
It depends on the age you're trying to reach. A lot of it is age. So if you're going after an older demographic that wants to hear a very long story, your primary one is Facebook. If you're looking for just business people who just want the nuts and bolts, you want to go to LinkedIn. If you want the younger audience, or like the 25 to 45 decision maker, you're on Instagram. Like, I push everything to Instagram. That's where I live. That's where I do most of my work. Basically, my Instagram page is my resume. I send people to that before I send them to my website, because that's who I am, and that's my audience that I'm reaching. Twitter, if you want to get into a fight, Twitter is the opportunity for you. Like, if it's...
I haven't been on Twitter forever.
Oh my gosh, Twitter is just a bunch of news.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been on it forever, so this is totally secondhand for people who are like, I got on Twitter and then I got into a fight with someone. I'm like, well, that seems to be the theme, so.
One time I get on Twitter is if it's to see who won the UFC fight. Like, I'll do like a hashtag UFC 229 or something.
Right.
Or wrestling. Like,
and then like we'll follow it all.
Or any sports game. Any of the sports balls. if I'm somewhere and I can't watch it, I'm like, so I'm watching the Tar Heels on Twitter tonight because I don't have ESPN U94. So, yeah. But I don't get on Twitter for much else.
Very cool. Well, tell us about your book club. Why'd you found that? And how do people get involved, and what do you guys read and all that?
Well, way back when, I started my book club with, this sounds crazy. So I had a mentor. Her name was Mary McMillan. She was head of WBTV, or the top person at WBTV. She was my mentor when I was working at a literacy organization. She took me to lunch when WBTV had the Uptown studio. I met John Carter. John Carter, do you know, John Carter is like one of the main anchors at WBTV. He loves to read. I love to read. We went to breakfast one day. He's like, I've got this idea. What if you just drop by the morning show? And by morning show, he meant 5:30 in the morning. The morning show brought some hot chocolate and some books. I promise you, this is how it started. And I was like, I mean, okay, I want to be on TV. And we just kept doing it. I was like, hey, you wanted me to drop by? Drop by. Drop by. And it just kept, and it became a regular thing. Everyone loved it. I drove myself to Uptown Charlotte at 5 in the morning with reheated Starbucks from the day before, and Starbucks hot chocolate from the day before because they weren't open yet, and people kept watching. They loved the book girl. They loved the book girl. Well, they loved it so much that they put me on the noon show, and I have been on the noon show ever since, and it used to be the need to read. It would tag back to the literacy organizations where I was. When I left that, they wanted to continue the segment, but they needed it to make sense. So Arden's Book Club was born out of that. So what do I read? I read a little bit of everything and try to do my best to write reviews on them. But I've also, that's where Instagram comes into play too, is whatever I'm reading, I pop up in a book section on my Instagram highlights. So I read a lot of local authors. People send me things to read. I use it as a platform to let people know about other books that are going on, interview authors on it. So it's a book club similar to Oprah's book club. It's more like recommendations. Here's what Arden's reading now, because I'm known all over as the book girl. So what are you reading? And I will let people know. So it's just an avenue to get information out, because I really like my first heart is books and reading, and I'll snuggle up with the book at any old time.
What are your thoughts on Kindle, reading on the Kindle versus the real book? Doesn't compare? Or...
I could care less. People like really want to dive into this, and I think it's great. I sometimes have a real book, sometimes have a Kindle. I would prefer audio. If I could figure out how Audible would work, I would be so happy, but I just can't. Like, I listen to Girl Washer, I don't know, I just...
Okay.
I don't download it right. That sounds so crazy, but I'm like, somehow I can't get, like, why can't I just buy it on my phone? Why do I have to go to my laptop to buy my Audible book and then make it?
Yeah, because you do have to go to Amazon.
Yes, it's very cumbersome, and I don't like cumbersome. So, I am all about learning and knowledge. So, I don't get into that debate. Because
yeah.
People are like, I love the smell of a real book. And I'm like... That's a lot of trees. Yeah. I mean, I'm not upset.
It probably just depends on the story, too. You know, you get the power of story. And just, you know, if it's a good story, you like it. You know,
I'm a reader. I don't care about the avenue in which I'm reading.
Have you read the Game of Thrones books?
Mm-mm. I have heard I would not enjoy those. They're very vulgar and violent and
yeah.
A lot of stuff that's just not my jam. They're like the brother and sister in love with each other.
I mean, I don't want to say it's a small, but it's, yeah. It's
which brother and sister?
Jaime and Cersei Lannister.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You got the kids who, anyways.
Yeah. Tell us about the No Tribe.
Well.
Which is, by the way, K-N-O-W.
Yes. It is the Women to Know in Charlotte.
Okay.
So the No Tribe Charlotte is the most influential women in the Charlotte community who are looking. Our mission is collaboration over competition. It's also a national movement. And so we have currently with the No Tribe, it started just this year in Phoenix. We have Tampa, Calgary, Charlotte, Raleigh, and LA. And I'm probably missing one because I feel like there's six, but I'm blanking out right now. Phoenix, Tampa, Charlotte, Raleigh, L.A., Calgary. So somewhere in there I missed something.
They threw a Canadian city in there.
The Canadian city, yes.
There you go.
So we're international. So it's really a way to, there's a notebook, which Charlotte launches November 14th. So it's a way to highlight really cool women in our community in a different way. And also the women are building a tribe together. So they get 6 exclusive events throughout the year, just them. And then, so there's the In the Know tribe. And then next year we will start a bigger membership tribe where it's like a networking group, if you will. But our, like I said, it's collaboration over competition, which I feel like is really important with women's groups. And you don't have to be a women business owner or a woman nonprofit starter. There are women female business owners and nonprofit, but it's also men who are highlighting really cool women in their businesses. So I think that's how we're different as well, is there's a lot of stringent rules over women's groups and over networking groups, and only one of this or only one of this. Ours is more about who are the women crushing it in a lot of different areas of their life, and let's bring them together and build a community for them. So some of the women will never get a bit of business out of it because they don't want a bit of business. Like one of my friends doing it is, she's a consultant for the Department of Education. She just needs like-minded women around her who get that I can't text in the middle of the day. I cannot answer your phone call and talk about our kids. I love my kids, they're great, but like I've got this much work to do, and you like mad because you missed your Pilates class, it's not my space. These women, their space is, how am I going to get it all in? And then when I need a night out, I need women who are sitting in the same space as me, like trying to be a great wife, trying to be a great mom, trying to be a killer businesswoman and do it all without losing my mind.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Kind of like more of a mastermind than a, you know.
Yes. Yeah. But still, they'll get business out of it too.
Yeah.
Like if they want to get business out of it, they will.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even if it's within the group, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, people of CLT, we're going down the list of all the things you're involved with. RNG.
Here's the thing. Does everyone else just think, like, I say not to delude your brand, but my brand is storytelling. So all of these are ways to tell stories. So that's what the key to take away. No matter what you do, just telling everyone, no matter what you do, there should be an overriding theme in everything you do. So you've got to diversify how you make money. I fully believe that. But how you make money should always have a theme. So people of CLT, I get to tell stories about people in Charlotte. Everything from one of my greatest friends who's like the dancing man of Charlotte and crushing it in lots of different ways. I got to tell his story. I got to tell the
story. Who is it?
Aaron Dodge.
Oh yeah.
That's exactly when you said dancing man.
I know you're talking about Aaron. I know you were talking about
I got to tell
his
story.
He's been on a podcast before.
He has?
Yeah.
He was like,
he's a trip, man. He's funny. Even his Ellen dance videos every day.
They're hilarious.
Yeah, that guy's on it, man.
He is on it.
Moves. I wish I had his moves.
Man, he can dance.
So does my mom. I got a call. I hope Dodge listens to this. So I got a call one night. My mom was like, did your friend Aaron, she's going to kill me, did your friend Aaron teach dance lessons? He is really good. Like, she was watching his Ellen dance video. So So cool people like Aaron and what he's doing. And my friend Nisha Pye, who runs a CPA group. I got to interview this really cool woodworker. That'll come out in the next week. I got to interview the person that makes these 1111 bracelets, 1111 collection. So really just cool people in Charlotte who are doing various and a sundry different things. My Susan Harden, who's running for county commissioner, I got to interview her. Another, Brandon Lofton, who's running, I got to interview him. Like, I find political candidates interesting, like, and I work for them. Why the heck would you put yourself out there like that? But then to hear their story about it is just, I just think it's so cool. Like, it's very hard for me to be interviewed right now because I want to ask you guys all sorts of questions. Like, I'm used to being the interviewer. So that's what I do. Like, with people of CLT, I get to hear it and I get to give everyone a really good product of, like, here's what your story actually is. And they're like, that's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have overcome quite a bit.
I am so cool.
All right, so our audience consists mainly of local business owners,
entrepreneurs,
small business people.
Yeah.
What are some tips, what are some practical things, or some practical advice you can give them in terms of using social media to kind of grow their brand a little bit?
The biggest thing is know your audience. So I have the hardest time on my Instagram, @Arden_McLaughlin. Come follow along. But I know I have to put pictures of myself on Instagram. And it's very hard. So one big tip is invest in really good photography, because you're a really good photographer is going to help you have fun with it and give you really good product at the end. So I can get really creative about what I'm saying. I think that was the best thing I ever did, was started looking at other people's, and I was like, theirs are doing so much better because their photography is so much better. And if your platform is social, Instagram and even Facebook, like, your images are key. Find a good photographer. I have a relationship with one that I pick about every month to 6 weeks. We do an hour shoot. It's $125. And it's, you know, people are like, I can't believe you spend that on, like, she's killing it. And $125, like, we waste that going out on a Saturday night. Like, invest in your business. Like, be smart about that. Boost post. Like, I truly believe in boosting posts. Like, find a cool one that people are interacting with. Spend $20 and boost it for a couple of days. Like, investing in the actual product and organically is great, but I'll pay a play in a minute to get it boosted up. Know what timing is everything. So make your accounts business and see when people are looking at them. Look at your stats. I'm a data person. So if 70% of my audience is female, I put female up. If I really get tired, my number one pet peeve was when I work with women and they're like, I'm really tired of guys flirting and hitting on me. Then put your boobs up. Like, stop having your boobs hang out all the time. And they'll stop having your butt hang out all the time. If you want to be a business person, be a business person. Use it like a business tool. Like, I won't work with people. If I look at them and I say, put your boobs up, put your butt up, and they don't, I'm out. If you want to be taken seriously, be professional, be serious about it. Like, I know that everyone's not as conservative as I am, but I get plenty of likes and plenty of like, woo, babe, you're looking awesome. And I am covered up all the time. And I think that's where you have to decide to elevate yourself and know who your audience is, but also know who you want your audience to be. So if, like, things like with books I'll talk about, I don't talk about any books with nudity or cuss words on the front cover. That's not my brand. That's not what I talk about. Awesome. If you're crushing it in the Harlequin romance, I am not mad at you. It's just not my brand. So there's no reason for us to work together. So with that, it's just do your research and just study who's looking at you and see who's doing it really well and figure out how to do it like them. Ask them questions like, why are you always engaged so much? Like, is it the giveaway you're doing? Is it other? Is it you're tagging people? Is it the hashtags you're using?
So your choice of social media, you prefer Instagram?
Me? Yeah. I love Instagram. My audience is on Instagram. I will get them. My WBTV audience is on Facebook. So I pop on Facebook Live anytime I'm on WBTV. But I'm doing business and you can't do all of them. I get a lot. If you need to do, I think Facebook is very good for networking groups. Mm-hmm. I think Instagram is good for branding. I think it's hard to brand on Facebook. And maybe that's just me because I'm too lazy to do it. But I think it's very hard to brand on Facebook.
Did you know that more, like, I heard this somewhere, there are more people now looking at the stories than the actual feed?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. So that's why you put everything in stories and then pop it to your feed. Like,
because you can save, when you're doing a story, you can actually download it and save it to your phone and then go back and get it on your feed. That's a great way to recycle the same content.
Oh, yes, recycle the same content. Or, hey, new post. Like, I need to go post because I'm doing a giveaway with 11/11 collection and there's like one more day left in it. And so I need to go, hey, pop in my story. Because I look at stories more than I look at anything else. I think they're much more fun.
And it's a great way for the business owner to get their personality across, to document what they're doing.
Oh my gosh,
yeah. To share
their
story.
I have a question though. My highlight button went away. Am I the only one that lost my highlight button? Or did I do something wrong on my Instagram? Did y'all know that?
I did not even notice it.
I don't even know what a highlight button is.
My highlight button went away. It's just Facebook. Have you seen that? Are y'all not in your stories enough? I am in my story all the time.
Your story looks so funny.
It is funny.
So animated. I don't know anything about the, maybe Facebook land could tell us about
Instagram. Yeah, if somebody on there knows why my highlight button went away.
Yeah, on Instagram, where the highlight button is.
My stories are funny. That's why people like them. They're like, you're like a reality TV star. I'm like, not a star, just a reality TV training wreck. Like,
there was one that particularly stands out. I wish I could remember what it was. It was recently. You didn't get pulled over recently, did you?
Mm-mm.
Something else then.
One, yeah, I'll put up one time.
I think I'm pretty sure I like responded with like, you know, emoji.
No, I see the most ridiculous things too. Like one day I was at like one that got tons and tons of likes or like reactions. I was at the gas station. There was a gigantic pickup truck in front of me, like just monster, and it had a Texas plate, and I was like, whew. There is going to be a man getting out of that. Like a man.
Y'all, cowboy hat, belt buckle.
Yes. I'm going to see a man today. Y'all, it was like a boy. I mean, like 13 or 14. And he's like walking by. He's like, hey, baby. And I'm like, oh.
He's like, how you doing?
What? And I could not stop laughing at myself. And people are like, I just keep watching you laughing at yourself over and over. I am very animated, but I crack myself up all the time.
I wanted Fred Savage. I got Benson.
I'm like, I was going to be a man. No, I got the Ken doll.
It comes out with like Skittles and
yes.
Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Hey, girl. And he was like, hey, girl, how are you? I'm like, old enough to be your mother. Keep moving.
Keep moving, Skippy.
Skippy, that's my cat's name.
Is it? Oh, so you're a cat person or a dog person?
I'm an all animals
person. You're an
all
animal person?
Yes. I just don't have the patience to take a dog outside. That cat is well trained. He will go in his litter box, clean up bed for himself, and then come back and beg for more food. Hmm. Skippy John Jones. He's a crowd favorite on Instagram as well.
Who is this?
My cat.
Skippy John.
Skippy John Jones.
He said John, well, you said John Jones. Immediately, my brain goes to UFC fighter.
How'd you come up with that name?
Skippy. It's my favorite children's book of all time. It was Skippy John Jones. Skippy John Jones is a Siamese cat that thinks he's a Chihuahua, and he goes into his closet and has adventures with the other amigos. It is fantastic.
So, check that one. A while back, I posted a status on Facebook talking about Tom Sawyer and how I don't remember much about it.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of flack from that. But I got my daughter watching this cartoon, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, on YouTube. And it's actually really entertaining. It's a cartoon. It's like, but it's awesome.
It was really good. Like, it was kind of ahead of its time. Like, they dealt with issues of racism and, like, orphanage. Like, it had so many different issues in it that we didn't. Like, I love that.
Yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, though. Do you know Huckleberry, like, obviously, Huckleberry Finn, who's more popular, like, more well-known, Huck Finn or Tom Sawyer? Like, if you go on that.
I would say Tom Sawyer.
Because Huck Finn is a spinoff, yeah?
Yeah.
No, they were friends.
Well, yeah, they were friends, but, like, as far as, like, the book franchise, or the franchise.
Yeah, Tom Sawyer came first.
Yeah. And then he was more of a spinoff.
He maybe had both of them in mind, though. A lot of times authors will have several characters in mind, but they need Tom Sawyer needed to introduce Huck Finn. Huck Finn probably would not have been as interesting if he didn't have the balance of Tom Sawyer.
Gotcha.
Like, you need his balance or you'd be off the rails.
Yes.
Basically.
And he came first. And he needs me for...
Comic relief.
There we go.
See,
yeah.
I've already figured out the story right now.
All right, Artie, well, take us home. Let's spend the last 30 seconds to a minute and just kind of remind everybody who you are and what you do, and then most importantly, how they can get in touch with you.
555-8675-301. I told you I love pop culture. Arden McLaughlin. I am a publicist. I help people tell their story better. And the best way to get in touch with me is follow me on Instagram, Arden_McLaughlin, ArdenMCLaughlin. I answer most direct messages unless they are from porn sites. Then I tend not to answer those.
Then you don't answer the porn sites.
I decline.
Probably
behooves you. I decline those.
You got me a private message from one of those.
But I will say, if you message me 95 times in a row, hey, baby, what you doing? What you doing here? I will block you.
Yeah.
I love the block button.
95 times is the
threshold.
95 within 30 minutes is the threshold.
There you go. She's like counting. This guy's persistent.
94, he's got 30 seconds.
He does this 46 more times.
There it is. Block.
Not 45 more times.
How can you, like, my whole thing is, how do you have this much time to message me? Do you not have a job? Like, don't be creepy.
Maybe he's on his lunch break, and that's why he has to do it so fast. He's like,
I gotta get it in.
Hey, if you don't respond, I gotta go back to work.
Or if the people, you know the people that, like, go through and they're liking pictures from 2014? You're spending too much time on my profile, buddy.
You're scrolling too far, bro.
2014? God, no. Get off my profile.
I'm liking some of your Tar Heel cheerleader pics here. All right, Arden. Pleasure to have you. Thanks for coming.
We're going to end on that note.
Yeah, that's too much laughing. You're laughing way too hard at something that he said and I didn't say. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.